Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams Realty, a greater Rochester real estate podcast. This is episode 31. Mark, how are we doing today?
I am great, bud. How you doing?
It was nice to enjoy spring part two yesterday here in Rochester.
Don't you love April in Rochester?
It's
a lovely time of year.
I love April on December 16th. It's beautiful. You know, it's kind of funny. There was some people that were complaining about it, believe it or not.
Really?
Well, it's not the holidays. We need to have...
Well, there is that.
Wintertime. It's coming.
As you told me a moment ago.
It's snowing tomorrow. So 60 one day and then snow the next in the same week.
As far as I'm concerned, Listen, if snow starts or begins on or about the 23rd of December and then melts by the 2nd of January, I'm good to go. I'm a happy guy.
Absolutely.
I want a little dusting for the holidays, but that's it.
Yeah, just a little seasoning.
that's right. Yeah.
If you're listening and don't live in the area, if you want to live in a place where you never know what it's going to be like outside, let me tell you, Rochester, New York is a place to come. Keep you on your toes. Never gets boring.
Let's talk to Bob down at the Chamber. A tagline to attract him.
All those suckers in California, it was 70 every day. Boring.
But as we've said over and over and over again, we don't suffer the forest fires that they do.
This is
we
true.
We don't have the hurricanes. We don't have tornadoes.
Jeez. Yeah, awful.
God.
I was on my best friend's bachelor party over the weekend, and we were golfing, and we were in the pro shop, and I look over, and I saw it on the news, it's the devastation, and it looked like an end of the world movie.
Yeah. And if I got this correctly, and it was only something that I saw on Twitter, was it a 250-mile path? This tornado?
I don't know the specifics of it. I know it was devastating.
Scary stuff. Actually, it's probably not a 250. It probably wasn't a singular, but there was probably an alley of 250 miles in which there were just multiple hurricanes.
Regardless, just
awful.
I will take the snow.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you for listening. You can always get caught up on the old episodes if you want to get up to speed. They are found over at marksewick.com. Certainly helps when you subscribe to the podcast as well. Review it, share it, tell your friends about it. Let's get to a quick market update here, and probably not going to be surprising. A little bit of more of the same here at the recording of this podcast. There's 332 active properties in the county of Monroe.
Wow.
Down, actually up a little bit from 327 last week. Wow. And then in the 6-county region, we are at 636.
So down.
That is down from 639.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot to get to here. We have a lot on our plate.
But before we go through the bulleted list, I'm anxious for the start of the year so that we can actually start to. So for those of you who have been patiently listening to us yammer about the holidays and turkey and mistletoe and vacations and all this nonsense, thank you for listening, because this is a time of year when there's just not a lot going on in terms of real estate.
Yeah.
Everybody just takes a deep breath and prepares for the year to come. So thank you for suffering through us. We promise it's going to become substantive right after the first of the year.
Oh, we have tons of substance today.
Okay.
I did want to touch on the current market because, yes, it is slower than normal, but there are still obviously, properties out there. And let me tell you, Mark, the battles for these properties have been fierce.
Go ahead.
The idea that, it was going to be cake if you were sticking around or maybe coming back to try to get that property. I mean, it's at least in my experience, it's been more of the same. 20 plus offers, over asking, waiving everything.
Wow.
I mean, it's
wow.
So, I see that, and I'm living through it right now with my buyers, and I wonder what is next year going to bring.
Yeah, Josh Bartolotta from the team just wrote an offer with a client. It was $600,000, came in significantly over asking price, beat out by an all-cash offer.
Yep.
We just listed a great little house on Beresford Road, $200,000. I'm presenting at least 6 offers later today. That's going to sell a minimum of $25,000 over asking.
Yep.
Yeah, it's insane.
And this is going to tie into something that I think we'll end the podcast with, and that is... I saw something from Realtor.com about how 2022, the year for first-time home buyers. Mm. But we'll table that for now. Let's jump into a couple other things. I know you like your celebrities, Mark.
Love celebrity gossip. Yeah, you got something for us?
I do. I actually have who spent the most and who made the most in real estate this year.
Okay.
Again, as we approach the new year, we want to reflect on the current. Probably not a surprise. And did he get divorced this year?
Who's that?
Or no, he actually bought Jeff Bezos. He's just spending money. $78 million for his new place in Maui.
He just bought a new place in Maui.
He did, yep, this year. 14 acres, 4,500 square foot main house. Then, of course, you have your 1,700 square foot guest house.
Wow.
And I feel like this is bigger than probably a lot of the apartments I lived in Rochester. A 700 square foot pool.
Wow. Wow.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Wow. No, I think that he and Mackenzie... isn't it great? I can just like,
oh yeah,
rattle off her name,
yeah,
Mackenzie.
Yeah, Kenzie. Yeah.
I think they got divorced 2 years ago.
That's right. Yes,
because she's been on a tear the past year and a half.
With her donations.
With her philanthropic donations. Yeah. She's a rock star. That one.
So he just barely edged out. Actually, The Weeknd, who bought a $70 million home in Southern California. You're not a fan.
Oh, man.
You don't like that every song sounds the same?
my ears, like, honestly, I don't think I've ever listened to an entire song by The Weeknd. Wasn't he on the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just shit. I'm just going to say it. It was.
Pulling no punches, wow. But, I mean, you do like more up, knowing your musical taste, at least when it comes to newer stuff. You do like, I mean, you're Cardi. You're Cardi all the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be filthy, and it's got to be just heavy beats. Nothing slow.
I ask anybody in town, and they will tell you that I was one of the first on the Megan train. Mm. Yeah, several years ago. So back to The Weeknd.
Yeah.
So he spent millions of dollars, I would imagine, on some vanilla, beige-painted, boring house somewhere. Go ahead.
Well, he's got some space. I'll tell you that.
All right. Boring space, but go ahead.
33,000 square
Holy
feet.
Crap. All right, I'll give him that.
How many cleaners do you have to hire to clean 33,000 square feet? Yeah, 1.58 acres overlooking the exclusive Bel Air Country Club.
All right, so great. It's like watching the boy bands in the 90s. Like,
I'll show you a picture. Like, oh, mansion, boo-hoo.
Okay, all right, but... The boy bands in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was so bad that there weren't enough pyrotechnics, there weren't enough confetti cans, there weren't enough bombs going off to distract you from how bad it was. That's what this guy is doing. He's buying a 33,000 square foot house to distract you from how like really boring it is on the inside. So
could be.
Anyway.
We'll end with the list for as far as who've spent the most.
Okay.
With, I don't know if you like him better, Kanye West. His music,
you know,
at least.
I like Kanye up until he lost his mind.
Yeah, I mean,
man, like, huge fan.
Well, speaking of that, you know, on the heels of his split with Kim Kardashian, he picked up a contemporary home in Malibu for, I mean, just a steal, $57.3 million.
Wow.
So apparently this was designed by a famous Japanese architect.
Okay.
And it's more of a fortress than a home.
Yeah, that's, you know, keeping...
You're probably not shocked by.
No.
Consists of 1,200 tons of concrete.
Oh my God.
The building also required 200 tons of steel and 12 pylons that were embedded 60 feet into the sand. Measuring, this one's compared to The Weeknd, 3,652 square feet. How will Kanye even survive?
Wow. Well, he's getting ready for Armageddon?
It seems like that might be the case.
Or Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes. She's finally coming for him. Finally. Let's flip it to the other side here and the biggest celebrity sales of the year. Number one, $85 million.
Oh, wait, it's got to be another tech guy.
Calvin Klein.
Oh! Have I ever told you my Calvin Klein story?
Oh, no.
So Duffy and I are in line at the concession stand, the Metropolitan Opera, a few years ago, and we're getting a glass of champagne because it's the Metropolitan Opera.
Well,
and,
you know,
they don't offer you a Diet Coke or anything. So we're getting a glass of champagne, literally. And as we're in line, like all of a sudden, like Duffy is pushed into me. He's jostled, and he pushed into me. I was like, "What's going on?" And I look up. I was like, "What's the big?" Literally, like. In his urgency to get to the front of the line ahead of everybody else was Calvin.
Oh,
like
now was it himself or his security?
No. It was Calvin himself.
Oh, himself. Oh,
like,
okay, wow.
And like, have you seen the images of like the facelifts and all that? Like, have you ever seen like an image of it? Like, it's all like it, that is that is all very accurate. Like this leathery sort of skin.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just threw him up.
Maybe that's why he just wanted to get up there, get his drink, and get back to his spot.
Yeah, poor Calvin. Jeez. So wait, so is this? I know he's got places in Manhattan, but he's also got the place out in the Hamptons that he owned. Okay. And that he owned with his ex-wife, Kelly.
Correct. Yep. So this one sold, or they bought it rather, in 1987 for $3.6 million.
Okay.
Decent return on investment.
And what did they sell it for?
$85
million. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a 6.8-acre parcel.
Wow.
It's got a 1.63-acre lot next door. That was $10 million. So yeah, he's doing okay, I guess.
Did they say what street he's on?
Further
lane or something?
They did not mention what street.
No, okay.
You may know. You can dig into it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, further lane is like a big, yeah, anyway.
So, pretty big payday, for sure. $85
million. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mark, if I'm the agent on that, I mean, it's like, well, we're good for 2021.
Yeah, right. I'll see you next year. Yeah, exactly.
See you guys. I did want to shift gears here a little bit.
Wait, is there one more? Give me one more, Bob.
Oh, you want one more?
Yeah, give me one more.
Okay.
I don't know. Fine.
Let's see. Another one who made a lot of money is the golfer Greg Norman.
Go on. Give
you
me
don't
one
like
more.
Him? Yeah, right. No. How about Tom Cruise?
All right, well, why not?
Okay,
sure.
Well, good, because he's the last one I have, so there's no other options. Tom Cruise, again, sold a ranch in Colorado for $39.5 million.
There you go.
Apparently, he was quietly shopping around for $59 million, so he actually lost money on this one.
Wow, wow.
Believe it or not.
Well, actually, you know what? Let me. So, can we mentioned a few weeks ago that Zillow was having this enormous problem.
You think Tom Cruise got screwed by his estimate?
No. Do you know who got screwed by the Zestimate?
Ooh.
The CEO
of
Zillow.
Oh, no.
Who listed. Now, this news story is a few years old.
Okay.
However, Spencer Raskoff, CEO of Zillow, this has reemerged over the course of the past year because agents are just doing the happy dance on Zillow's
dancing on the grave.
The grave, yeah. The Zestimate for the house was $1.75 million. He sold it for $1,050,000. Like a 40% decrease over the estimate. So, like, you know, once again, if there was any further need to disclose or demonstrate that the Zestimates are wrong. They are just inaccurate.
That's rough.
Man,
that is rough.
Yeah.
That's been one of the big real estate stories of this year,
It's one of my top 10.
But that's come to light for sure. All right, so let's flip from celebrities to a very rich person who actually...
Oh, wait, celebrity, richer than the celebrities we've talked about?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Who has bought a town quietly over the past several years.
Oh, yeah.
15 or so, Mark. How long is it? You have more info on this.
So I think we're talking about the town of Aurora.
We are.
Okay. So Pleasant Rowland, is
that's
that
correct.
Her
name?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
So Duffy and I started going to this, going to Aurora, New York, probably about 15 years ago, because at that point in time, you know, it was the middle of the spring market, and we didn't have our place down in Hammondsport. I would need like a weekend getaway, just a few days to get away.
And it's not far.
Exactly. So, you know, very easy to drive an hour and 20 minutes or something to Aurora, New York. And we were staying at this place called the E.B. Morgan House. Beautiful, really, really, really beautiful residence turned into a B&B, working fireplaces in every room, that kind of thing. And we loved it. We would go there year after year after year, and then we built our place down in Hammondsport, and we just didn't feel the need to go any longer. Well, just recently, Pleasant Rowland has been buying up the town, and I think there are probably, six houses now or something that she's renovated into hotels? And then they just opened the spa, back in, October?
Five historical inns
and a
renovated restaurant, and then the spa that opened recently. So if you're asking, you know, where did she get all this money, the creator of the American Girl doll sold it to Mattel in 1998
$700
million.
Okay, all right. I thought it was like $770 million or something, but it's $700 million.
In 98. So, I mean, what's that now?
Yeah.
I mean, now it's a billion or more easily, right, with inflation?
Yes. You know, I would not be surprised if, you know, so she spent, let's say she spent $5 million buying up this town. I don't think
so
she did.
It's interesting. So she is trying to make Aurora, New York, essentially an extension of the American Girl doll franchise by making it this quaint kind of town. So apparently in a speech that she gave at the reopening of one of the inns, she said that the town reminded her of the values and traditions of another more tender time So she's kind of creating a real-life American Girl doll town.
So we're not going to be obligated when we go there in a few weeks to dress.
I don't know. But yeah, really excited. The team is going to be spending
here
some time
Civil
there.
Here comes Civil War nurse Nicole.
Look what you got us into, Mark. Look what you got us into.
Oh, my God.
All right.
But I am very much looking forward to this because, I think your wife, Court.
Oh, yes?
Court
oh,
was
ecstatic.
Very, yeah.
Well, we have babysitters for both kids, so we're really looking forward to it. That is
there,
for sure.
There you go. That's great.
Wanted to turn our attention.
Wow, you're just a bevy.
Oh, I'm full of it. Absolutely full
I'm
of it.
I'm telling you.
Well, this one grabbed my attention because it's from Florida, but I wanted it to bring it up because these things happen all the time, all over the place. There was a real estate scam that happened. So there's a parcel of land that was put for sale on Zillow. Not to pile on, Whoa. But it was put on Zillow, and it was listed for half the market value. So someone found it and thought, you know, what a steal, I've got to get this. And they were about to put their $5,000 deposit down when they thought, I better double check and make sure this is legit. So they showed up at the house of the person who owns it, who just thankfully happened to be there, and they said, oh no, I'm not selling that. Someone had just put it for sale online on Zillow. Again, you talk about Zillow, and we've talked about it before, you know, the brand that they have, the trust that people have with it because of that branding. You would think if it's up there, it's going to be legitimate, but not the case.
Yeah. This happens. Adrian, our property manager, calls me probably two or three, sometimes four times a year, and lets me know that one of our rental properties has been advertised on some site.
Yep.
And so we get phone calls from people saying, hey, is this legitimate? I'm about to write a check for $1,500 for security deposit. And why it is that people are writing checks, security deposit checks, and handing them over to somebody without ever once walking into the apartment, that's just beyond me.
It sounds crazy, but having worked with as many buyers who are relocating as I have that need to rent first.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yeah.
I mean, to get an apartment, sometimes you have to go sight unseen.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see how people could fall into this trap, which is absolutely terrifying and sad, really.
Have you ever been scammed?
I haven't, but actually one of my friends, I think this was last year, she was looking for an apartment, and it was Craigslist, I want to say, that she found it.
That's exactly where Adrian
usually
keeps, yes.
And she went to it and kind of walked around. And they gave some BS excuse of why they missed the appointment or some BS excuse. But then they said, oh, well, we have another person that really wants it. So, you know, if you want it, you have to put down your deposit now. And she was clued in, the language was very European, I guess. They called it a flat and used a lot of terminology.
There we go.
So that made her think, I don't know. And she actually ended up doing the same thing as this person. She found out who owned it, showed up at their house, and they said, oh, yeah, no, that's not for sale.
Wow.
It's the same kind of thing. So this is happening a lot.
Yeah. People need to be very careful, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Scammed once.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not real estate.
Oh.
But mom wanted to go and see Justin Timberlake.
Oh, no.
In Buffalo. Yep. Brought Sandy. Mom, I know you're listening.
Yep.
Oh, brought Sandy. I mean, mom, I love you, but It was throwing herself at Justin in the way that she was at the age of 70 some years. I mean, it was but Justin was into it. Justin was into
him.
It.
Good
but stupidly, I bought tickets for myself and Duffy, Jen Newman, my mom, group of us. I dropped out on $1,000 or $1,500 on tickets, and gave them to somebody. Gave the money to somebody. My brother actually did. He was given four tickets, which were just counterfeit. So.
Oh, no. So you show up and then...
Yeah. And they've got the scanners. That's, alarm bells are going off. And, a hand comes on my shoulder, follow me, sir. Yeah. And I'm like, what's going on? Thankfully, they had they had four seats that they were able to sell to us.
So it worked out still.
But I ended up spending it at $2,500.
The amount of scams that are out there is mind-boggling. There's actually there's one, Mark, where people like to text those of us on the team posing as you.
Oh,
this has happened. At this point, it's been dozens of times.
Well, and it's not just members of the team.
Yes, it's to a lot of people, I guess, right?
Somebody must have gotten into my, actually, now that I think about
it. Uh-oh, here we go.
No, I'm watching Netflix last night. We're watching the film Passing. And you know how it is, that Netflix will always say, you can continue watching these movies that you've started watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of this crap that I would never in a million years watch. And this has been going on for 9 months. Like, somebody has my passwords, and they keep using my Netflix account. And his name is not Mark Crandall.
I was going to say.
No, it's not Mark Crandall. And they keep using my Netflix account to watch. So I changed my passwords about 3-4 weeks ago.
And then
boom, just in the past few days, the Great American Baking Show and, like, some show about...
If you're going to be so rude as to steal someone's credentials to steal their Netflix, at least watch quality shows.
I want quality, man. Yeah. Anyway.
At least you can respect that. Yeah, it is wild. It is wild. So be careful out there when it comes to real estate, when it comes to pretty much everything.
All right, what else you got for us? You got another bullet?
Last thing I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
As, again, we've been using a lot of these podcasts to project what's going to be happening in 2022, and I found this article from Realtor.com that talked about... Is this the year for first-time home buyers? Okay. And there were some stats in there that I want to break down because I think it's interesting. Aspiring first-time home buyers that are already actively looking, they kind of broke down where they were. Only 25% have been in contact with an agent.
Oh, right.
And only 15% have been pre-approved for a mortgage. Those two things have me a little bit worried for these people.
Okay, so I got to ask, who's conducting this poll?
This was Realtor.com that did this poll, apparently.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, clearly they're an authority. They really are, but I'm skeptical about this in so many ways so far. But keep going.
Well, that's, you know, take it for what it's worth, actually, you know, the grain of salt or what have you. But if this is true, you know, for our listeners, if you're a first-time home buyer, you know, talk to us, talk to really anyone, but get your agent and get the financing figured out. I mean, that is step one.
Well, step one is back to the two bullets you've mentioned so far. They haven't even spoken. 25% of these people haven't even mm-hmm. spoken to an agent.
Yep.
So listen, again, as you said, doesn't need to be Corey. It doesn't need to be me. It doesn't need to be. Just find an agent because you're not going to be able to buy a house without an agent in this market.
Yeah, so the other ones were 40% say they're researching home values in their target neighborhood, 34% say they've researched the real estate process itself. Again, an agent's going to help you with both of these things.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a lot of legwork that you don't necessarily need to do on your own. That's part of, you know, our job.
Sure.
30% have talked to family and friends for advice. So there was that stuck out to me from this article. Some of the top priorities were just kind of interesting to me. And I want to see if you can guess maybe why, for first-time home buyers specifically, these are priorities. 35% want a large backyard, 30% want a garage, 30% want an updated kitchen, 26% want a quiet location, 23% want updated bathrooms, and 20% want a finished basement and a guest room. You think about, as renters, what they've been through.
Yeah, sure.
This makes perfect sense to me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then COVID certainly plays into it
also.
Well, true. Yeah.
Is that, you think that's where a large backyard comes into play?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly. So,
and then maybe the most troubling part of this, that makes me a little worried for these people, is they had a breakdown of first-time home buyers' budgets versus all buyers' budgets. And this is the most staggering of these stats. Again, take them for what they're worth. Hopefully they're not accurate. 24% of first-time home buyers say they are unwilling to pay anything over asking price.
Well, you know, it's a process. You have to get your teeth kicked in a few times, mm-hmm. as a buyer before you realize just writing off or below asking price or at asking in this market is not going to cause you to prevail.
I feel like that statistic does give some validity to the earlier one that only 25% have talked to a real estate agent, because if you talk to an agent, you know, and you say that as a buyer, I'm going to say back to you, you know, not to be disrespectful, but I don't think you're ready to buy.
Right.
If that's your mentality. And I get... you're looking at the market and it's crazy and what have you, but you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that you're going to have to go over asking.
Yes.
On almost all properties.
But I would imagine that your experience is such that that's part of your job also.
Yeah.
Is just to take somebody who has no idea what they're doing,
yep.
no idea what's going on in terms of market conditions, the need to secure financing, and you just take them by the hand and you walk them through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually you do a great job of just very, very, very patiently walking people through the process so that over a 3-4 month period of time, they finally get to the point where they're like, okay,
yeah.
I've got my financing in place. I hear you. I've lost out on 6 properties. I'm going to write over asking.
After enough times of being 20th out of 20 offers.
Yeah,
But, and that is part of it too, just to kind of throw this in there. Losing is part of this process.
Yes,
because,
it is.
You know, you need to go through it yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
And you learn from every single offer that you don't get accepted, basically.
Yeah.
But if you're going into it thinking, I'm not going to pay anything over asking, I have got bad news for you.
It is just so fascinating. If we were somehow to go in a time machine and have the privilege of listening to the conversation that you and I have just had in the past 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
There was no way we could have possibly fathomed that we would be talking about. This is insane.
Right.
This is just insane. And I just don't see that the current market conditions are going to change at any point in time in the near future.
Yeah. So that kind of is what it is. So I thought that was interesting. So we'll see. If you're a first-time home buyer, again, cannot stress enough, please talk to an agent. Get set up with your financing. And then be prepared to go to a place that you are comfortable with, but you need to understand that if you need to go up from there. So maybe you need to lower what it is that you're looking to bid on to create a bit of a gap there.
Indeed. Yeah, yeah.
So good luck. If you have any questions, you can always reach out. Find out about the team at MarkSewick.com. Mark, anything else before we talk about what we have in store for next week?
Let's talk about next week, and then I'm going to just go through some gratitude. How's that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Tee us up. We have a guest.
Marissa
finally got her wish that another guest will be joining the podcast.
That's right. When I was with Nothnagel, there was a guy named Jay Teresi who was responsible for agent recruiting, that type of thing. It turns out that Jay and I both graduated from Canisius High School in Buffalo, so we've got that, we got that connection. He's a great guy, but probably more so than almost anybody in town. He knows and understands statistics and data and trend lines, and I think he's just fascinating. I love listening to him. He's always got something interesting to say. So he's going to be with us on our next podcast, and it's going to be some of the meat that I was apologizing, that's been missing, frankly, from our podcast.
Got to throw a little fluff every now and again.
So, yeah, exactly. Jay brings some of that, and I think he's going to be really, really interesting to tell us about the year that's been and some of what it is that he's forecasting for the year to come. He's just a great guy.
Fantastic.
So,
what do you think he's going to have to say for any first-time home buyers who are not willing to go any time or anything over asking price?
He's going to tell them to just, go out there on their own.
Yep.
No need to have an agent work.
You got this.
Yeah, so.
All right, some gratitude, Mark.
In the past week, I have just been inundated, too strong a word, but it seems as though every other day I'm getting an email or a text message from somebody who has been listening who has a question. Mark, back in the summer, you were talking about a team that was renovating your kitchen, and can I get the name and phone number of that organization or that crew? Things like that, day in and day out for the past
That's
week.
Awesome.
And I just want to say thank you. I mean, this is what this is about. We're very interested and very intent on educating people. And so, if you do have questions about something that we've talked about or something that we haven't yet addressed, feel free to text me 585-330-8750, 585-330-8750, or just go on the website and you can email me through the website, and that's marksiewick.com, MarkSiwiec. It's been very, very, very gratifying, and I'm really grateful. So.
Well, yes, thank you so much for listening. We can't thank you enough, truly. So we'll be back again. Excited to have that conversation next week.
Do we do a Christmas sing along next week?
We can't. What's your go-to?
My go-to? Oh, I don't know. Actually, let's conclude with this.
Okay.
Your favorite Christmas carol.
Oh. Wow, jeez. I think the Jingle Bells I'm partial to right now just because my two-year-old, he finally learned how to do it.
And great.
The most adorable thing ever. He can be my stand-in. I'm not much of a singer. Maybe he'll be my stand-in.
Okay. Do you have a particular Jingle Bell recorded by a particular?
The one with the barking dogs is by far my favorite.
That one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
What about you, Mark?
I've loved for years, like Judy Garland singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh, okay, yeah,
I love that.
Yes.
That's a really good one. But I've got to say, my good friend Tom Anderson and I are partial to The Waitresses' Christmas Wrapping.
Oh, I don't know if I know this one.
Oh, maybe when you're editing.
Okay. Let's throw it in. Okay.
It's this new wavy kind of
rapping, as in like rapping presents, or rapping as in Cardi B.
Yes, yeah, wow. That's the cleverness. It is just so clever. it really is a great little song. So
all right, well, we'll have to take a listen to that. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran.